Welcome back to the Property Management Show, where we deep dive into the world of property management, entrepreneurship, and of course, owner marketing. Your hosts are Marie Tepman and Brittany Jones from Foreign Taff Marketing Agency. Since 2012, we have helped hundreds of property managers grow their businesses through the power of marketing. Whether you need help with your website, SEO, online reputation, videos, blogs, advertising campaigns, you name it, we can do it all. Visit our website, foreandhalf.com, to learn more. That's foreandhalf.com. Today, we have the pleasure of interviewing the Mark Cunningham, president of Grace Property Management in Colorado. We have the pleasure of having the Mark Cunningham today on the show.
Wow.
Welcome back. That's
impressive. That's a good intro. You guys need to come around with me and intro
You're
me
popular.
Other places as the.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab my kids, bring them in. If you can repeat that, Brittany.
We are recording. Yeah. So we can replay this for them.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thank you. I'm excited to be able to chat with you guys today.
Yeah. And so, you know, we say the because you are one of the prominent faces in property management. If anyone looks for property management online on YouTube, your face pops up, right? And that's why you are the Mark Cunningham. So Mark, you've been in property management for almost all your life, right? Given that Grace Property Management is a family business. So can you describe for us how the business was when you first joined?
So the industry was very different back then. I mean, I remember as a little kid going with dad to the office. And at that point in time, he just started his business. So this was the late 70s, early 80s. And he was down in the basement of a shopping complex that he managed. And he got a free office down there. It was across the hallway from a bar. I remember it very vividly. And the bar would always have music thumping in this 70s bar. But he got a free office. And so it was very, very different. I remember we bought our first copy machine. That was a big deal. We had our own copy machine at that time. And had a phone with an answering machine on there, so you could check messages. If people called after hours, they could leave messages. Oh, it was very fancy. It was very fancy. This was in the early 80s, in the days of bomb threats, believe it or not. And
oh,
so
wow.
What would typically happen on a Monday morning, I'd check the voicemails and be like, a bomb's going to go off Saturday night at 10 p.m. I'd be like, well, that was a day and a half ago, so I guess we don't need to call the police. So it was an interesting time. It was an interesting time. So I kind of grew up in that world. And after I got a little bit older and started working for my dad during the summers, I mowed a lot of lawns. I painted a lot of houses. I collected a lot of rent. I was kind of the errand boy. I just did whatever needed to be done. But the industry was very different. Technology didn't exist in the form and fashion it does today. We didn't have a computer at the office. We had ledger cards. And so when people would pay rent, we'd flip through the ledgers and find their ledger and write the payment in and manually calculate with your adding machine how much they still owed. And when it was time to do owner disbursements, you'd pull out your big checkbook and you'd loosen up your wrist and you'd start handwriting checks and you'd lick the envelopes and put them in the mail. And I remember as we got bigger, there was a time where we had like, I don't know, you know, 50 owners. Mm-hmm. And so I would write 50 checks.
Lick 50 envelopes. Owners.
Oh, I remember that. It was like a big day. I was it's check writing day. Man, I got to go write 50 checks. And, but early on, my dad, he wasn't a technology guy, but he recognized that was a great tool. So we got a computer before anybody else had computers. And we actually hired a company out of California. We found some programmer and he created a property management software for us. We paid, I don't know, $20,000 at the time, which would be
a lot of money.
You know, yeah, like 200,000 bucks. Yeah. To custom write this program. Oh, we just thought it was the slickest thing ever. So we've been all through that side of things. And I think what I've learned, like looking back perspective wise, is in our industry, every couple of years, there's like the big scare, right? Like the big, if you don't do this, you're going to get left behind. And everybody's, oh, no, whether it's consolidation or now it's AI, right? If you don't do AI.
Right.
And what I've learned is like, no, just you're going to be fine. Provide good customer service to your owner clients, take care of your tenants, take care of your owners. And yes, we want to use technology, of course, but like you're not going to wake up one morning and get left behind with this stuff. It's a lot of fun things to talk about, but it takes care of itself.
Yeah, that's so interesting you mentioned that, because there's this like shiny, no thing syndrome where, oh, it's shiny, everyone's doing it, so I should be doing it. But if it's not mapped to like, you're implementing X because this is the outcome in your business, then you're just going to be wasting time and money. So how did that software thing pan out? Are you guys still using it?
We used it for literally about 20 years, and I did everything we needed it to do. I did not want to switch. Yeah, we got our money's worth out of that. Mm-hmm. It worked great for. I mean, it was as compared to what's out there today, it was nothing like that. But it had a place for us to post rents, and we could post information, and it was a cool dashboard that way. But I agree with you, Marie. It's very easy to chase the next thing because people say it's the coolest thing out there. And we've, on one hand, we've been very shy on that stuff. I mean, we're not going to chase the newest stuff out there. But and that's hurt us, though, as well. I remember very vividly before we had a website. This is before websites. And a guy was trying to sell us a website for a company. And I remember, I wish I had like this recorded somewhere. I remember having that phone call. And I remember saying to the guy, you know, I don't see how we could use a website in our company. Like that just doesn't even make sense to me. I can't understand how we're going to use a website. So no, I don't think that would be something useful for our company. Yeah, I missed out on that one. So I'll claim that one. That was
could have been one of the first.
I know.
At least you have a website now, though. You corrected your error. You have a couple websites. Yeah,
that's true.
That's right.
And so, you know, like it's interesting that even back then, you know, you and your dad always thought of like technology as something that you can leverage to improve the business. So, you know, like you grew up in the business, you saw your dad kind of pioneering in some aspects, and then you studied finance and real estate in college. And then, you know, you're armed with all this knowledge and different worldview. And then you re-enter the business as a different man. Did you introduce any new things that, you know, you felt like the rest of the team, maybe your dad, didn't quite approve of? And how did that go?
Yeah. I went to Colorado State University. I studied finance, studied real estate, as you mentioned. And I wanted to do my own thing, right? I didn't want to work for my daddy. Like that just didn't appeal to me. It just sounds goofy. And so I didn't. I graduated and I did some other things in the real estate world. I did some things in the multifamily world, the commercial world. I bought some stuff myself. I was not planning on working for my dad. That wasn't the plan. So I did some other things, and my dad called me one day, and this was a couple of years after I graduated, and said, "Hey, I need to hire somebody. I need to hire a property manager. Do you want the job?" And I remember, I was like, "Well, how much does it pay?" And we went back and forth, and he said a number, and I was like, "Well, can you come up to X?" I don't even know what it was. "Can you come up to X?" And he's like, "Well, let me think about it, and I'll call you back." I said, "Okay." And then he called me like 5 minutes later. He was like, "Of course I can come up to X. This is ridiculous. What are we arguing about this? So yes, come work for me." And so I did that. And I think me working outside of my dad's business, I didn't think about it at the time, but looking back, that was very wise because I was able to have a whole different perspective on coming into the business, not just bringing new ideas, but also being like, wow, this is really good that we do here, because these other places I worked at didn't do that, and that wasn't good. Or, yeah, let's try this. Here's something that I've learned in these other places. So that I always tell people in the family business, if you can have that young person go work outside the business for a few years, that is well worth it, because the knowledge they get to bring back is going to be invaluable.
Can you share some of the things that you kind of introduce as a result of that maybe you would not have had that kind of perspective if you had gone straight to working for your dad?
Gosh. Technology wise, I think what I was able to bring, because I was in the multifamily world a little bit before I came back to work with my dad. So I was able to bring, I think, a lot of that higher level thinking in a multifamily perspective to a single family business. So for PMs that have worked in the multifamily world versus single family world, it's just very different. It is more of a marketing, more of a customer centric. How do we take care of our residents? How do we provide for them? Everything from the way you market online to the pictures you put on there to the gifts you give to them. It just adds a whole other dimension. So I can't think of anything specific, but I think that multifamily aspect really came into play in a positive way. talking about tenant retention, the importance of that, understanding the financials, because in the multifamily world, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. Residential world, we don't think that way as much. So I think I was able to bring more of a business mindset, kind of a 30,000 foot view, like, how do we run this business? And I've over the years, I've really adopted that mentality that the success of a PM business is really on the business side of the business. Mm-hmm. It's not about leasing. It's not about rent collection. That's stuff we all do. It's not about maintenance. It's for business owners. It's about how you run your business. And if you don't run the business well, it doesn't matter how good you are at leasing. It doesn't matter how good you are at maintenance. Your business isn't going to be successful because you don't have a business mindset. So I think that's what I brought to it. My dad was great at property management. I was pretty good at business management. And we wedded those two things, and it's worked very well.
Did it ever cause any conflict or just butting heads because you had different priorities or just different ways of looking at a problem?
Yeah, very rarely. And I give my dad the credit on that. So when he hired me, I was an employee. I got paid just like everybody else paid. And one thing that we established early on, I think that worked well in the family business is I wasn't the boss's kid. There was no favorites. There was no favoritism. It was the opposite. It's like, hey, if people are going to look at you like you're the boss's son. So if you want them to respect you, you better work hard and you better produce and you better really make it earn yourself a spot, earn that respect. And so I came with that mentality, and I did. I worked very, very hard that way. My dad, to his credit, was very good about giving me control. So I worked there for a few years. After a couple of years, he sold me some equity in the business, which I think was very wise because he didn't want me going anywhere. He didn't give it to me. He sold it to me. And then the better I became, the more he gave up the reins. And he was very good just about kind of giving me control and letting me try what I wanted to try. And yeah, I made some mistakes, but he just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with my kids. I couldn't give up that control, but he did. He just kind of let me run with it. And as he would explain it, is he took it to a level and he was kind of happy and content there. And he really didn't want to push a whole lot further. And I think when I came on, I did. So as long as I didn't mess something up, he was going to let me kind of push a little bit further. And so we've always worked very well together that way. But I give him the credit for that.
That's great.
I promise I'm not crying from that story. I'm having some allergies. But a tear like rolled down right when you were done. And I was like, what a beautiful story.
Really. That is a beautiful scene. That's beautiful, Brittany.
But if you see me doing this, that's what's happening.
we'll pretend you're crying.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was wonderful that your dad kind of gave you, you know, the free rein on what to do. And one of the things you mentioned that you brought to the table after working elsewhere was a different way of doing marketing, right? And so you are one of kind of the pioneers of like, you know, video marketing in the industry. And so can you talk a bit more about, you know, how you even got that idea? And how your dad and the rest of the team kind of took it when you first were like, let's do videos.
Like that's all after a while. So we had that. I was at a PM conference. This is, gosh, I don't know. This is a number of years ago. And someone was talking about that, just the idea of other industries using that. And I'm very much like an action-oriented guy. Like just do it. Don't overthink it. Just do it. And that bites me sometimes. But I was like, you know what? We talk to owner clients all the time. And it really came from a place of me being busy and talking to a lot of prospective owner clients. I thought, how cool would it be if instead of answering the most common questions our owners ask, what do you charge? How do you rent a property? What happens if the tenant doesn't pay rent? Who fixes things? Like instead of saying that over and over and over again, what if I could have that in a video? And we could somehow magically put that video on our website. I didn't even know how to do that. And then the person could watch that. And if it would save me 5 minutes of a conversation, then that would be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it came from. And I remember flying home from this conference and just kind of like, yeah, let's give this a shot. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue what I was doing. I got home. I'm sitting in my home office right here. It was in this office. And I grabbed my son, who was like, I don't know, 11 at the time. I pulled him in here. I stood him up on this desk that my computer's at. I literally stood him up here. I took the clock off that wall. I stood in front of the wall. I gave him my phone. And I was like, hey, point this at me and hit record. And I'm going to talk for a couple minutes. He's like, what are you going to do? I was like, just shut up and hit record. Okay. So he puts his phone up. And I think the first one I did was I said, you know, I'm Market Grace Management. A lot of times owners want to know what property management companies charge. So when you're talking to your property management company, here's some common expenses. Da, 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 da. I talked for a couple minutes. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no script. I had no lights. I had no microphone. I didn't even know, Marie, that like when you're doing the phone, you mm-hmm. want to hold the phone this way. Not that I didn't know. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so he did it. And you can imagine my 11-year-old son standing on my desk in his underwear, doing what 11-year-old boys will do in their underwear to make their dad laugh. It was hideous. I still have nightmares about that. So I did learn I needed to buy a tripod after that. But that was the first one we did, and it was, you know, 3 minutes. I think that video is still on our website or on our YouTube channel, just because it's terrible quality. That's not the point. The point is to do it. Just get it done. And so that then started the idea that, hey, this is pretty effective. And for me, it's all about being effective. This works, and it saves me time. I wasn't mm-hmm. envisioning some grand video marketing plan. That's how it started. And we would do those every so often. And then we kind of got more recurring around that. And the more we did it, the more we realized the power that video has. And it's like unlike any other type of marketing. It's magic. It's as close to a magic pill in the marketing mm-hmm. world as you can envision. Because now what will happen is a prospective owner client will call our office. And they say, hey, I've seen your videos, and on the closing aspect, if it's like a 1 to 10 closing aspect, right? Like, hello, mm-hmm. nice to meet you. Tell me about you. I trust you. I like you. Like they're already at a 7 mm-hmm. because they've watched our videos. They feel comfortable with us. They feel like they know us. And so it's so amazing that way. And I'm so glad that most of my competitors don't do it.
I mean, everyone has heard the spiel, but if it was easy, everyone would do it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's why I'm not afraid to tell people to do it, because I know at the end of the day, people are like, yeah, that's a great idea. I got to do it. And then it's like, here's the most common email I get from people. Hey, Mark, I'm ready to do videos. What equipment do you recommend I buy? And I know right then that person's never going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're mm-hmm. more interested in getting the equipment and working the process. Like, and I say, you know what?
Perfect.
Take your phone and point at yourself and hit record. And the reason it's worked for me is because I am not a perfectionist. I'm just mm-hmm. not. And I'm glad I'm not, because it makes me just get things done. We have, you guys will get a kick out of this. We're recording a podcast here, right? So mm-hmm. I started a podcast a couple months ago, a property management podcast. And we had an episode drop today, and I'm pretty fast. Like, I'm not a perfectionist, as I said. Yeah. So I get this text, and this guy's like, hey, I just listened to the podcast that just dropped today. I don't think you edited that properly. Like, there's a whole lot of conversation between you and your guest, like towards the end, that like is like way personal stuff that I don't think should be on your podcast. I was like, oh no.
What did you talk about?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't bad stuff, but like it wasn't business at all.
It wasn't related to the topic. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, so how's your family doing? What'd you guys do for Thanksgiving? Like, it was just stupid stuff. And so I quick had to go pull that because I never even listened to it before I threw it out there. And they miscut it and I didn't listen to it. But whatever. I don't care. Tell them to fix it and move on, because I don't have time to go listen to it all. So it does bite me sometimes. But I'm much more of a believer in the power of action, right? I mean, you got to just act on this stuff. Just do this stuff and let the results kind of fall where they may.
And so you mentioned that, you know, video marketing has been really successful for you and your company. And it's as close a magic pill as you can get in marketing, which we've also experienced. So I'm just curious, for your own company and your own business, do you track at all like the ROI or return on time invested for doing videos?
I don't track it, but I will tell you this. We have some software somewhere, and I don't even look at this stuff, but it's like, what is it? Acquisition cost per client or something, mm-hmm. you know? So they look at our spend, our marketing spend, I guess, and then number of clients. I don't know. It's over my head. But I had a call last week with our folks who track this, and they do this for a number of different companies. And they said, Mark, we've never seen such a low acquisition cost per customer of anybody in the industry. Never seen that low. And they were kind of like, how do you do that? And my response was, well, I don't spend money on marketing. I mean, we have our website, of course, and I shouldn't say we don't spend, we have our website, but how much is a YouTube channel? Brittany, here's a test question
for
you.
You know, it's free, but maybe I'll start charging for it. Yeah.
It's
free. But your time is money. Your time is worth.
Time is money. But that's the beauty of a video, right?
Yeah.
I go record a video and that time I put in is a one and done. I never have to do that again. So my joke in my office is there's two marks, right? There's Live Mark. This is the mark you're talking to, but there's a, and Mark, Live Mark's great, but Video Mark, you guys should really meet. Have you met Video Mark, Brittany?
I've met Video
definitely
Mark.
Definitely have.
Yes.
Isn't he a great guy?
Video Mark's a great guy.
He's
subscribed
funny.
To Video Mark's newsletter. So
yes. Yeah. Oh, I watch Video Mark sometimes. I can't get enough of the guy. He's always engaging. He's on 24/7. Right? He's available all the time. He works for me for free. He doesn't charge me anything. And if I logged in to YouTube right now, if I even know how to do that on my screen, I would show you in the last 9 months how many conversations Video Mark has had with prospective owner clients. And it's going to be hundreds or thousands. I don't know. But even if it's just 20, if you're like, oh, gosh, I do this on only 20 people, that's 20 conversations you didn't have to have with real life Mark. So I think there's the time value. Is
love
just
that mindset.
Even if nobody signed up with me, if I got no leads out of it, think of how many conversations I didn't have to have because they were watching Video Mark and they were like, yeah, I don't want to hire them because they charge that. Or I don't want to hire them because they don't call me before maintenance. I would rather have them learn it and not like Video Mark versus waste real Mark's time only at the end of the conversation to have them be like, oh, wait, you charge that? Yeah, I don't want to work with you. Waste Video Mark's time all day long. He doesn't care about it. Mm-hmm. But that's another reason. I mean, that's reason number 17 of 100 on why I think this stuff is so effective.
Yeah, I love that.
Sorry, you got me on my little soapbox.
No, that's so great though, because so many people, I feel like I have heard people not wanting to make videos or education because they're scared somebody won't want to hire them because of it. But that seems like there needs to be a shift there.
That's the point. Ooh, that's right.
Yeah.
You become your own filter, right? We all talk about filtering owner clients that aren't a good fit for us. Well, that's a great way to be the filter. Now, this really flows though for us, at least kind of from that philosophy of we're not designed to serve every owner client. We're not trying to sell. The training we do internally with our property managers when they come on board is called We Don't Sell. We don't sell. And what we train them is like when a lead comes in, your goal is not to close the lead. That's not your goal. Your goal is to get to know the person, to determine if we want to be in a business relationship with the person. Now, if we determine we do, then yeah, go get them. But we don't enter it with a sales mentality or a, gosh, I got to get them.
Right.
There's pressure to close them down. No, that's not it at all. We want to talk to them and see if our business and our services are going to be a good fit for them and if they're going to be a good fit for us. And if so, great. Let's do business together. But it totally removes that pressure as well of, oh, I hope they choose me. I hope they pick me. I hope I can sign them up. That's just not a healthy way to enter into a business relationship, we believe. And so that video side of things can work on all those. It helps attract people. It helps you filter people. It answers all the common questions so you don't have to answer the same thing 25 different times. And then it snowballs on itself in a positive way. You know, that's the other component of that. So the more times they get watched, the more Google promotes it. And the more Google promotes it, the more it gets watched. And the more it gets watched, the more Google promotes it. I actually just last week, I took one of our videos down. I did a video a couple years ago. It was for property managers and it was titled like 5 things to never say to your tenant. Catchy title. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what they all were. There's 5 things to never say to your tenants. And I'm not a negative tenant guy. I'm not an anti-tenant guy, but I must've said something in there that came across as like negative on tenants, positive on landlords. And so this thing went viral on tenant groups and the hate comments I was getting on this video and on my website were unbelievable. Like, it was getting crazy. Wow. So it had like 25,000 views. And at first I was like, oh, 25,000 views. And then I clicked the comments.
Viral.
Yeah. And they were like, this guy's a slumlord. We should kill him. This guy. You know, oh. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. So I took that one down. So you gotta be a little bit cautious. I guess there's the cautionary tale is, but actually that is a good point. I tell people that, remember, this is in the public domain. Whatever you say is going to be in the public domain if you're doing this. So you never, ever want to badmouth tenants, say negative things about them. You get all these silly tenants that don't pay their rent. They're no good, are they? Like, this is going to be watched by tenants as well. I know you're talking to owners, but you've got a big audience. So it is wise to be cautious on what you say and how you say it.
Yeah. In fact, I helped a client do their video recording several months ago, and they, because California, right? They were very, very strict about flagging them if they say tenant. They're like, I only want to say resident because this video should be evergreen. And I don't want to be potentially offensive if like 5 years from now, that's like an outlawed term, whatever. And so like every time she would accidentally say tenant, she would have me stop her so she can re-record. And I'm like, just say it. But she's like, no, I just, it's just, she wants it to be evergreen, which I get, but yeah, like you are right. Like, it's public domain and you have no control kind of like who watches it. So it's not to say like you have to script everything you put out there, but kind of know your area, know kind of like what's happening in the industry.
And it's a fine line to walk, I think, because you want to be cautious. You want to be wise, but you also want your personality to show through.
Yes.
If it becomes so scripted, then it's not going to be effective. Nobody wants to see Mark sit here and read something off a piece of paper like that. Nobody wants to watch that. So I always encourage people when they're doing this, like, do not script it. If you want to put out a couple bullet points for yourself, that's fine. Give a couple bullet points, but don't read a script. Don't have your computer generate that for you. It's got to be you. If you can talk to an owner client, which you can, then you can talk to your computer. It's no different. And it does take practice. I get it. It can be hard, intimidating, but it's effective. And as you said a few minutes ago, Marie, that people don't do it, but that's why those that do, it's so effective. Like, this is the easiest, no, I shouldn't say easiest. It's the most effective marketing there is. And it's the most untapped marketing there is. Most PM companies would just rather write a check to a marketing company and hope something works and run ads. Yeah, pay Google to do Google ads. But like, I'm cheap. I don't want to do that. So I think this is very effective.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so I'm curious, you kept talking about using video for like prospective owners. So I use that to have them self-filter. Do you and your company use videos for other parts of the business, like owner retention, resident retention, stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the educational videos we do, we kind of break them into two buckets, the videos that we do. One is an educational group, and then the other is kind of a FAQ on how we do things. And we have to make sure we keep those very, very separate. On the educational umbrella, right? If you look at the educational side, what I really like about those videos and what's been effective is we use them for the things you just said. Yes, they're marketing to new prospective owner clients, and just as effectively, their current owner, it's a current owner retention tool. So one of our rules, our soft rules to determine whether or not the video we record is educational enough, if you put that word in air quotes, if it's educational enough, is could we show that video to a current owner client and a prospective owner client? And if the answer is ever no, like, oh no, I wouldn't want to show that to a current client, then it's not educational enough. So that's how we keep it from being salesy at all. So in all of our educational videos that we do, all of our marketing, you can call it marketing, call it education, whatever you want, you'll never hear me say, so call us today for a free consultation. And if you sign up today, we're offering 5% off. Like, we'll never say that because I couldn't give that to a current owner client. So that's my rule. If I ever am like, oh, I don't want a current owner client to hear that, well, then it didn't check the boxes. It has to be education. And if I can say, yes, this would apply to a current owner client, just like it would apply to a prospective owner client, just like it would apply to somebody who doesn't even do business with us, a landlord that may have chosen my competitor, it should apply to them as well. That's the umbrella under which we create these videos. They're not just videos where we're talking about how great we are. Nobody cares about that. It's got to be the content matters. It's got to be education, education, education. So if we can do that, then it becomes a massive retention tool. So every month when we send out our video, education video of the month, we have one massive email group, and it's all of our current clients, all of our previous clients, all of our prospective clients, anybody that we've ever gotten their email address that way that we can use. And it doesn't matter that they went with a competitor. Doesn't matter that we're not even managing for them. Doesn't matter that we are managing for them. It's education for all of them.
I really like that mentality. It's also kind of simplifies it, because sometimes people get tripped up about like, well, who am I talking to? And if you just focus on like, again, bird's eye view, right? Like, if am I providing education? And if it's true education, it should apply to all, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And it's just keep, as you said, it's bird's eye view, big picture. And I think that's what makes it effective, is people want to be educated. If I went on and the next one I said, you know, 5 reasons you should hire Grace Management, how many people are going to watch that? Like nobody, because nobody wants to hear me talk about how great we are. But if I go on and say 5 new laws that are impacting real estate investors in Colorado, that's interesting. People are going to watch that. And so I think that's an important component of understanding nobody cares about you. They don't care about the technology you use. They don't care about how long. I've been in business since 1978. Nobody cares. I have a degree in finance and real estate, Marie, because you told everybody that. You know what? Nobody cares. They care about them. And so if I can educate investors, now they see us as the experts. So now when a question comes up, a problem comes up, they're not going to call the guy who said he has great technology. They're going to call the guy who talked about the law that just got passed that impacts them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So, you know, for listeners who may be warming up more to doing videos, like how much time do you and your team invest in like making these, we call them assets, right? Like they're basically assets, video assets for your marketing.
Not much. When we first started doing this, all we did on the front end, we said, or I said, I want to do 2 a month. That's all it's going to be. Just 2 videos a month. Cause I don't have time, for more than that. So I would record them both at the same time. If nobody's ever seen them, you know, they can jump on our website and check them out, but they're 5 to 7, 8 minutes. Like it's not a production. Sometimes people will call me and they'll be like, hey, I've got a suggestion on how you can make your videos better. And there's always a piece of me that's like, oh, what? But then the other part of me is like, no, because that would take more work and more time, as you just said. And so on one level, people watch these and they're like, man, these are so low budget. Well, they're not cheap looking. I mean, you wouldn't watch it and be like, this guy's a goofball. But I've got a backdrop. So today, you know, how much time have we invested in my basement of my house right here? I've got my little recording studio. We've got a backdrop. I've got a couple lights that I put out there. I've got a tripod. This is my camera to this day. I just use my iPhone. That's all it is. So I've got that, that I do the recording. I've got a little lavalier mic, and it's typically like one take. I'm not stumbling over my words. No, I take that back. I do stumble over my words, but if I do, I just keep going.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it doesn't take a long time, because people will be like, okay, here I go. Hi, thanks for watching today. Oh, no. Okay. I said, I got to start over.
Right.
You just got to go. It's got to be conversational. That's what makes people watch. So if I just tell people, give yourself 3 or 4 bullet points, that's all it needs to be, and pretend you're recording a video for a prospective owner client. I think that's been the most effective way, like a little trick to trick your own brain. Pretend you're talking to a prospective owner client about something that they want to know about. You're recording a video for them. Because if you're doing that and you stutter or you say, or whatever, you just keep going.
You don't care.
So I do it all the time because you don't care. So it doesn't take a lot of time. Now we just do 1 a month is all we do anymore, because we kind of have a library built up, and that's really what it becomes, right? It becomes a video library where they build themselves that way. So we're down to 1 a month. I'll spend an hour a month maybe doing that. That's all it is. And it takes care of itself.
Yeah. And it keeps working for you even after you've put it out there.
I think it's the only evergreen the only true evergreen marketing there is. It is. If I go to an event and you guys are there and you're trying to market 4.5 to me, and you give me a pen or you give me a flyer or you give me a cup with your logo on it, eventually that's going in the trash can. It is. Every marketing piece there is eventually is going to get old and wear out. Now you've got blogs and you've got videos that can go on websites and that can be more evergreen. And I'm just not a big fan of blogs because people don't get a sense of who you are. I can write something. If you two had written, or excuse me, if you two had read everything I'd written, you wouldn't have a sense of who I am. But if you watch a video and it's me talking, now you have a sense of who I am. So that's that power, that video. So we'll do the video. We then convert that to a blog. So now we've got the double Google juice of they see it in audio format and they see it in video format. But it really doesn't take much time. As long as you're not a perfectionist.
Yeah, I think that's where people get tripped up. And, you know, like you were saying, like pretend you're talking to a prospective, you know, prospective owner when you're talking to the camera. And that's always how Brittany and I help our clients film their videos too. It's like, you know, just talk to me. Pretend I'm an owner. Mm-hmm. Pretend I'm your friend. I have no idea what property management is. Can you explain what property management is to me? Right?
Yeah. And it's like,
don't, yeah, just pretend that we're just talking, having coffee. And well, that tends to work too. The best.
Like, yeah. I remember when Marie and I started filming videos for Four and a Half, we were really nervous. And I think if you go to some of our oldest blog videos, you can just tell. You can just tell.
We were like deer in the headlights.
Yeah. Like, what about, should you request reviews on Yelp or whatever? I feel like that was like the first video I did. But I did have a mindset shift at some point that was exactly that. Hey, just pretend like you're answering a client question. And it really did make a difference for me. And then I was filming blogs or videos, we call them blogs, videos so much faster and so much more efficiently. So I think for the people that hear that and are going like, oh, well, easier said than done. It's like, I feel like I know from personal experience, you can make that shift. And
So do you guys recommend to your customers and your clients, like, should it be, if I'm one of your clients, okay, and I say, hey, help me record a video I'm going to put on there. Is the video we record, Marie, going to be like you asking me questions? Or do you just tell me, hey, Mark, you just look at me and talk to me, but people aren't going to know I'm here in the video?
So typically it's just going to be you on the video, but it depends on the client. So there are some clients where we just kind of like our stand-ins, kind of like, just talk to me, just like pretend you're talking to me. And we just like, shut up. And then we just let them talk. But then there are people who kind of would make a point and feel pressure to come up with like another good point. So in that case, we would continue asking follow-up questions, just like a conversation, right? Versus a monologue. And then we just edit ourselves out. So it really depends on the client, like their comfort level. Cause like Brittany was saying, it is, and you were saying, Mark, it is possible to have that mindset shift and not be, you know, so perfectionistic, but there is a learning curve. And a lot of people, I think, give up too fast. Like, oh, I can't do it as effortlessly as they're saying, so I'm just gonna give up. It's like, yeah, but if maybe you did it two more times, by then you'd like get that mindset shift. But, you know, they stop before they can get there.
Absolutely. It's like anything else. It's practice. You've got to do it over and over and over again. So if you do one, here's what everybody does. You do one and they look at themselves. They're like, I hate my voice. I hate how I look. Like I'm terrible.
Don't look.
And you just got to get over that. Right? You've just got to get over that. And the camera doesn't add 15 pounds. The camera adds reality. That's what I would tell people. Mm-hmm. So just get over yourself and it's going to be okay. You're not auditioning for Hollywood. You're trying to bring on an owner client. That's all you're trying to do. And yes, I agree with you, Marie. It does get easier the more you do it. I think if people are afraid to do it themselves, then you guys are the solution for that. Right? I think it's brilliant what you just said there, that when you get your clients on there, that you're having the back and forth conversation and you can edit it in such a way to make them sound good. That's awesome. I wish I would have known you guys years ago because my videos would have been that much better. I wouldn't have had to figure it out myself.
Well, you know, it's not too late. I'm just kidding. You already perfected it. You started, you were one of the pioneers, right? And so what advice would you give to property management professionals who are listening to this podcast and are thinking like, oh, sure, he'll just spend an hour to do a video, but I don't have that kind of time. I'm running everything. I'm wearing all the hats. You know, like you, you know, like you probably have a good sense of what to advise, given that you're all read. You're also a property management business consultant, right? So you talk to all different kinds of property management entrepreneurs, different sizes.
Yeah. Well, so one very specific piece of advice for people that are going to do these recordings, and we've talked a lot about best practices, but I don't think we brought this up. I always encourage people when they're doing the videos to be more energetic in the video than you think you need to be. There's something about video that like sucks the energy and the life out of people. So you may think you're all, but then you watch it back and you're like, I was boring. Like, man, I was just so boring. And yeah, you were. And I don't know what it is, but like, you've got to act more animated. And if you act more animated than when you watch it back, you're going to be like, I wasn't that animated, but at least I was not sleeping. Boring. So I would encourage people, like, bring more energy than you think you need to. You may feel a little bit amped up or a little bit goofy, but when you watch it back, you won't. It just, I don't know. That's the negative side of video that way. As far as advice, on time constraints, we started doing this when we were much, much smaller and I didn't have time. That's not the point. The point is if you want to get big, if you want to get time, you've got to do this stuff to get there. People are like, oh, it's easy for Mark to do. They've got a big company and he's got people, employees. Yeah, but that's how we got here. Mm-hmm. I didn't wait until we got big and successful to start doing videos. We did it while we were small and we didn't have the time and we didn't have the resources. I had no resources. I had an iPhone. That was my resource to do videos. I had an iPhone and a wall and an 11-year-old son in his underwear, but I got it done. Right. So just do that. And then if you do it and you follow the steps, then the success comes after that. You can't wait to be successful to start doing this stuff. This is what leads to success. It's the result of getting these things done. And if people are just like, I just can't do it. Like, I'm just too scared. Well, then find someone to do it for you. If you have to, use you guys to hold the hand, bring people along. And if people aren't going to do it, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad at them. But if you want to save money, if you want to be effective in your marketing and you want to reach clients and you want to save time at the end of the day, to me, there's just no better way than doing this stuff.
And so, out of curiosity, you know, we talked about how you're also a property management business consultant. You know, we talked about video as a great way to, you know, market to prospective owners and have them kind of self-filter before even wasting your time talking to you in person. But, you know, like, what other avenues do you see property management companies are seeing success apart from video? Like, is video the only thing, or have you consulted with other companies that are finding success elsewhere? Like, if people are just like, I absolutely don't want to do video, is that the only way?
No, I don't think video is the only way. I think it's the most effective and the cheapest way. Is it the only way? No. I'm always surprised at how many companies, this is like a little ticky-tack thing, but I bet 30% of the people listening don't have this. You go to your website and you have no picture, just a picture of you, the company owner or your team anywhere. Like to me, that's a big fail. People want to know who they're doing business with. People want to look somebody in the eye to be like, okay, so I'm going to give the key to my house, my most valuable asset to who? To a person hiding behind a website, or at least I want to see their face. So there's number one. Put your silly picture on the website and let people know who you are. Let your personality come out just a little bit, not in a goofy way, because I think people can get too extreme and then they just get goofy. Our mantra in all of our communication, our marketing and everything is we want to be professional yet friendly, professional yet friendly. And we've said that 1,000 times. And if we keep those two things as the boundaries, it works pretty well. And too often we go one way or the other. We go so friendly that we're just goofy. And people are like, yeah, you know, that person sounds funny, but I'm not going to give them the key to my house. Like, that's not somebody I'm going to do with that. Or we go so professional that we almost become like the doctor with a bad bedside manner, right? We almost become standoffish and clinical in the way we communicate and not in people. And we're not likable. It's professional yet friendly. And it's a total balance. And people, I think, have to understand how they naturally fall. Everybody's naturally more one than the other. Either you're naturally friendly or you're naturally overly professional, and know where you fall and then bring yourself more midline. So if you're just kind of a, clinical, very serious person who just doesn't, you know, relate well to others, then when you do the videos, you've got to bring yourself back. It's not a matter of, well, this is just who I am. Well, no, nobody wants to do business with who you are. You need to change yourself to be more attractive to your owner clients out there so you can appeal to them on their level. And then the other part of that, I think, if people aren't going to do videos, what they need to make sure they are doing, though, is with their content, whatever content they have, whether it's a blog, whether it's just Q&A on their website, make sure that they're answering the questions that their investor clients have and the accidental owners, the accidental landlords have. I think that's the big thing for us right now as an industry. Make sure that we're focusing on answering the questions and appealing to the accidental landlords. They're not investors. They don't think of themselves as investors. So don't talk about things that investors want to know about, because that group of people doesn't care. They lived in the house. That was their baby's bedroom. They want to know who's going to be living in their house and how you're going to screen tenants. And their questions are very, very different. So listen to those people and answer their questions in your content.
That's interesting how the tides shift, right? So I remember when Brittany and I first started working at 4.5, like 9 years ago, almost. The market.
9 years what? Next month.
Happy
anniversary, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's returning to the accidental landlords, because back then it was the accidental landlord audience that we were helping our clients create content for. And then it shifted to more investor. And then now it's like, you know, what goes up goes out. It's back to talking to accidental landlords.
Yes. And that's so important, even when the lead comes in. So like, let's fast forward past all this marketing. And the phone rings or the email comes in and they say, hey, I'm interested in hiring you to manage my property. If you are used to working with investors and you suddenly go into investor mindset and this person's not an investor, they live in this house and they got a job transfer and they want to keep it as a rental, you're going to lose them, because you're talking about prices. You're talking about how you do maintenance, because you're used to talking to investors who are money, 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 numbers, numbers, numbers. The accidental landlord doesn't care by and large as much about the numbers, which is a benefit for us as clients or as PMs, right? They don't want to know what your maintenance rate is per hour for your vendor. They don't care. They want to know, how do you screen applicants? And are they going to take care of my house? So understanding who you're talking to and then communicating to them and their pain points, both in person and in your content.
That's great. And so if our listeners want to reach out to you, Mark, maybe for advice, maybe to check out your podcast, like, how can they find you?
PMbuild.com. That's our property manager education website. So that's where we put all of our PM focused videos and, you know, how to do property management, basically how to run a PM business. Rentgrace.com is our property management company website. So if you want to see how we do videos, and people are like, oh, I never know what to talk about, I'm like, well, as long as you're not my direct competitor, go look at my videos and copy my idea. I don't care. You can do that. Just take my face off and put yours on. That's probably a better thing to do. But yeah, that's where people can see our videos and how we do that stuff. And we're not gurus. We haven't perfected it by any stretch of the imagination, but that's why I know it works, because we don't do it that great. We don't do it that well. Even my other son, who's he just turned 16, and he's kind of a video nerd. I mean, he loves this kind of stuff, and he'll watch him. He's like, Dad, I could do so much for your videos. Like, just let me put a green screen behind you. That's all I need. And part of me wants to do that, but I'm like, but then I'm going to like have another piece in the steps right now. Okay. Now we got to add the green screen. And for me, that would keep me from doing it. I just want to bang, 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 get it done, get it out there. I'm not worried about perfection. I heard this, and I'll leave you with this. I heard this. I don't even know if this is true. I heard this Harvard business study was done years ago, and it was talking about, what's the differentiator between successful people and unsuccessful people? And they did all the normal stuff. You know, they're better educated. They work harder. They wake up earlier in the morning. And that was all like secondary. But they found that the biggest differentiator, they called it, was speed of implementation. Speed of implementation. Like, just do it. So if somebody's watching this, like, don't be like, okay, I'm going to think about this for a while. And, you know, I'll put on my calendar for next quarter to schedule a call with Maria at 4.5. No, pick up your phone, go stand against the wall right now and record a 1 minute video about the most common question that your owner clients ask you. And then tonight, before you go to bed, log into your YouTube and post it. Like, just do it. And that is what gets stuff done.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Do I sound
that.
Mean?
Thank
do
you
I sound
so
kind
much.
Of mean on that?
No, no. You sound honest. It's true. Yeah. You're making me cry. That's why I'm crying. Because you're so Brit, mean.
This has been an emotionally powerful conversation for Brittany. She just can't hold it together.
Really has.
She can't hold it together. Okay, but I have a question.
Life-changing.
What do you see as the biggest things holding your clients back from getting this stuff done? You talked about a few things, but what are the biggest things that just hold people back?
Everything you just said. But also the mentality, too.
Yeah, the mentality of perfectionism, needing to be perfect. Literally everything you said is what we see.
And what content ideas do you throw out there to people to be like, hey, if you don't know what to talk about, talk about this or do a video on that?
I would say I try to avoid giving people specific ideas unless we have to. Like the rabbit hole we try to go down is, what are people asking you right now? What conversations are you having with current or prospective clients that you're getting asked a bunch, and starting there? So yeah, one of the things you mentioned is, what do property management companies charge? That's a pretty common one that I see come up, because prospective owners care a lot about what they're going to be paying you. So tenant screening comes up. There are these like evergreen topics that people are always getting asked, but I do, and I say, I don't really work face-to-face with clients that much anymore, but for our account management team, what they do try to do is drill in to figure out what's happening in your market. What are people asking you, and just starting there.
Yeah. That's and good. Sometimes if they can't think of their feet of, oh, I can't remember, we're like, look at your emails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what things keep coming up as questions that people are emailing your, you know, support line, or just like your inquiry line. And then we go from there. It's like the other piece too is, when I was talking about mentality, it's a mentality that, oh, if I throw money at something, that's good enough. But some of the most effective marketing is, unfortunately, time, you know, like it needs your time, because consumers make decisions, buying decisions based on emotion, even though, you know, in the capitalist society, we may think like, oh, people make decisions because of price or economic factors. But I attended like a virtual marketing conference once where they had a speaker talk about the persuasion, and their job before they did marketing was with like the Secret Service, and you know, in the persuasion department. So she kind of married the two, and she was talking about how if you actually study why people buy, it's all emotion. People might say,
how does it make you feel?
Might say, yeah, how does it make you feel? And so you cannot really touch people's hearts when it's just, you know, letters on a page, as much as, you know, like you are a human being that they can see.
Oh, that's so true, Marie. And it goes, it's twice as important, because if you're like, no, I'm not going to do this stuff, you know, no. Well, now you are competing on price, right? Now that's the only way you're competing. So now all they care about is what do you charge, because that's all they know about you. So like for us, we don't, and it sounds corny to say we don't compete on price. I mean, because we all do on some level, but like that's not the differentiator. No one's going to go with us because our price point is really, really good. If you surveyed our owners, I don't think they'd say that. If you'd say, why are you going with them? Oh, because they seem to know what they're doing. They're sharp. They educate us. They're experts.
Especially for accidental owners.
Yes.
They're more emotional.
Yes.
It's not just about NOI. It's not just about, you know, days on market. They don't even care about days on market.
They don't even know. Yeah. They don't even know to ask that question.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I think that's what we always have to remember at the end of the day. We're asking someone, I trust these people and I like their expertise side of things. And just to throw in one more little positive on this, we're trying to hire a property manager right now. Mm-hmm. It has been so interesting to see we have a job posting out there. Property managers who reach out and they're like, oh my gosh, I loved all your videos. Or people be like, I've been watching your videos for a while. I want to come work for you guys. I want to come join the team because I align with the way you guys communicate. I like, they're passionate about us, about VideoMark. They've connected with VideoMark. I've never met these people, never met them. but they feel, they reach out to me. Guys texted me right before we got on this. He was like, do you have time for a call now? I was like, no, I'm about to go on a podcast. And he's like, oh, but he feels like he knows me because he's seen my videos. So you don't know how powerful these things can be for your business in other realms as well, like hiring.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for the time, Mark, and for all those insights.
Yeah, actually, this wasn't real Mark. This was video Mark the whole time.
Oh, great.
But I mean, it was pretty.
So I guess we'll have to meet real Mark one day. Or what's the opposite of video Mark? No, was it real Mark? Boring. Or
Don't tell real Mark I said this, but the guy's a dud. He's got nothing.
Yeah. That'll stay between us.
No, thank you guys, ladies. And hey, thank you guys for what you do for the industry. For folks out there that like are having trouble with this stuff, you guys have it nailed in and you do it for them. So I encourage people to reach out to you guys who don't want to go through all the brain damage and all, because it is. I mean, there's a lot of work for it. Let's not pretend. But the fact that you guys can do that for people and make it easier for them, that's a big deal. So thank you.
Thank you.
That was your cue to cry one more time, Brittany.
I know. It's like, oh man, I must have something in my eye or something. I feel like it happened. This is like the second time it's happened recently in a podcast. I think I might be allergic to my cat too. She's like over there sleeping and was all up in my face before this. But yeah, you really just made the tears fall, touched, Mark.
Yeah. Thank you. You touched her heart.
I understand. Really I get it.
I'm going to stop.
That was really great. Thank you so much.
And that's all we have for this episode of the Property Management Show, brought to you by 4&Half Marketing Agency. We have been helping hundreds of property managers grow their businesses by using marketing strategies that attract owner leads. Whether you need help with your website, your SEO, social media, reputation management, videos, blog content, advertising campaigns, you name it, we can help you. Visit our website, 4andhalf.com, to learn more. That's FourandHalf.com. And if you are enjoying our podcast, please go ahead and leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. And as usual, if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, please go ahead and email us at marketing@4andhalf.com. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.